Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Shannon J. Kirshner. The sermon is based on scripture from Psalm 66, verses 8 through 20, and Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. Central Sunday morning service for the 10th of May, 2026. Sixth Sunday of Easter was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Services under Worship.
Our second reading this day does come from the book of Acts. So I invite you to again listen for God's living word. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely spiritual you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, the one who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is God served by human hands as though God needed anything, since God, God's own self, gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, God made all peoples to inhabit the whole earth, and God allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live so that they would search for God and perhaps fumble about for him and find him, though indeed God is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are God's offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked all the times of human ignorance, now God commands all people everywhere to repent, to turn, because God has fixed a day on which God will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom God has appointed. And of this, God has given assurance to all by raising that one from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." So I've never thought of Paul as Mr. Flexible. If anything, throughout the years, I've thought of him more as dogmatic, as rigid, as a real rule maker and follower. But my generalization might be unfair, for in that characterization, I completely ignore the way he totally changed his life after the road to Damascus experience. That unexpected moment when the risen Jesus took hold of him and everything in Paul's life was completely upended. Honestly, Paul's willingness to be completely changed demonstrates a flexibility I wonder if I would have. Our text from Acts today also illustrates another way that Paul shows that flexibility. But first, let's make sure we know where we are in Paul's story, because we've not preached from Acts in a very long time. In this part of the 17th chapter, Paul's just arrived in Athens with a bit of time on his hands as he waits for Silas and Timothy to catch up with him. They had all been rushed out of the last city they visited because Paul had stirred up trouble with his preaching of Jesus. So as he waits for his friends, Paul does what many of us might do. He begins to explore the city. And in doing so, he becomes keenly aware, as Susan said, of the vast diversity of ideas and philosophies and religions that were intricately woven into the Athenians' life. Now, truth be told, this experience distresses Paul. The commandments ring in his head, "You shall have no other gods before me," Paul remembers. "You shall not make for yourself an idol," he recalls. And yet, as Paul walks around the city, Paul sees statues and shrines all around, somewhat like a big golden statue just unveiled on a golf course in Florida. And this is where Paul's flexibility shows up again. He feels called to speak of his experience with Jesus and to invite any who would hear to explore becoming a follower on the way. But unlike the techniques he typically uses when he preaches to other insiders within the synagogue, Paul decides here to use Here in the marketplace of ideas, Paul decides to adopt their symbolic language. He dons the garb of an intellectual and a philosopher, an easy thing for him to do because of his sophisticated upbringing and high education. Paul realizes he must engage both mind and heart and do it in a way that reassures the Athenians that they can still be sophisticated and believe in Jesus all at the same time. He, of all people, knows there's no reason to leave one's mind at the door when you come into the church house. For we are called not to believe in our thinking, but we are called to think in our believing. And as a result, the people pay attention to what Paul has to say. For in Athens, new ideas were the currency. Debate was the shared language. Yet Paul's ideas were unlike anything the Athenians had ever heard before. So much so that some Athenians decide he's a pretentious babbler or an amateur, as other translations read. The actual word they use for Paul means seed picker. It was a term used for birds. By extension, it became a word that referred to people who pick up scraps of information, especially technical terms, and use them without really knowing their meaning or the broader context in which they are used. Frankly, this description reminds me of my personal motto, frequently wrong but never in doubt. I guess you could say I'm a bit of a seed picker too. So to these folks, Paul seems out of his depth, a strange bird picking at and scattering seeds. When we first bought our place in Black Mountain, my husband Greg decided that much of the yard was going to be wild. Let's not mow it, he tried to convince me. Let's just see what grows. And although I eventually convinced him that was not going to happen, I have come to learn that Greg was engaged in chaos gardening. I bet you didn't even know that, Greg. Now, apparently, chaos gardening involves mixing a variety of seeds together and scattering them in shallow soil without worrying about neat rows. And as an article emphasizes, if you plant a chaos garden, you must be ready for surprises and total unpredictability, as you don't know what will grow. Like a chaos gardener, in this moment in Athens, Paul makes a choice. Unlike what we might have expected, Paul doesn't grow defensive, bash the Athenians' practices, or smash their statues or shrines. In the words of scholar Willie James Jennings, quote, Paul, a faithful Jew, is rightly greatly disturbed by the idolatry all around him. But now, he will do something stunning and marvelously productive with his outrage. He will not turn away from those around him, but he will turn toward them, end quote. Paul, like the chaos gardener, chooses to be open to surprises and to the total unpredictability of what God might do through his seed scattering. This is what the gospel demands, Jennings states, a reaching toward and a reaching out. Paul turns toward them by addressing the gathered crowd on their own terms. And he reaches out to them by choosing to scatter seeds that they might understand. He praises their religiosity. He makes it clear he has spent time carefully and respectfully observing their shrines and their practices. And then he names that one particular shrine, the one dedicated to the unknown God. Paul sees the Athenians' devotion to this unnamed, unknown God, and he decides that is going to be the bridge. That's the way he will try to connect their worship of a God they do not know to the worship of the one God who Paul knows. So out of that hope, Paul continues to speak and scatter seeds, even though he's not entirely sure if any will take root. He creates this bridge for those open to hear, not by poking holes in their beliefs, but by sharing his own story. The story of the God who created everything and everyone. This God, Paul claims, is not contained by shrines or anything shaped by human hands. But then Paul turns toward and reaches out once again by making a point that brings all of them together. He speaks of humanity's shared inclination to fumble or to grope toward God. Humanity's shared inclination to reach out and move towards holy mystery, even if we don't understand what it is that's creating that yearning. As Maya Angelou once wrote, the ache for home lives in all of us. The safe place where we can go as we are and not be questioned. Paul knows that for him, the ache for home has been answered in his experience of the risen Jesus, the one who showed him that God is never far from us, the one who showed him that God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. That God is the one Paul knew, and he wanted the Athenians to know it too. And he offers that reassurance to these strangers, the same ones who find him ever so strange. And despite all my occasional frustrations with Paul, I'm struck by his humility here. Yes, he's a powerful and persuasive public speaker with big ideas and bold claims, but in this moment, he's also fully honest that everyone fumbles and flounders, not just in life in general, but in the life in faith, perhaps even him. This humility enables Paul to connect with those who are curious about the outlandish claims he makes. His proclamation, his preaching is grounded not in a desire to bludgeon anyone into believing, but grounded in an honest telling of the profound impact that God has had on him. Again, he's throwing some seeds, not knowing what might take root and grow and flower. Throughout my time in ministry, there have always been constant voices who worry about making faith, Jesus, Scripture, and the church relevant to our day and time. Frankly, my stubborn contention and that of many of my preacher friends has always been that Jesus, along with Scripture, faith, and the church, does not need our help to be relevant. Furthermore, the God we know in Jesus could not be more relevant than in this moment, in this day and time. As wars continue to rage, and our country remains divided, and the Voting Rights Act has been demolished, and research keeps flashing to us that young people are perilously anxious, I find that the story of the God we meet in Jesus Christ is urgently relevant, all on its own. For in that story, we are reminded of God's constant faithfulness, unfailing love, merciful forgiveness, and God's holy insistence for justice and partnership with us. The story of God we know in Jesus is a counter-narrative to just about everything else that surrounds us these days. Therefore, our job, like Paul's, is to tell our story. To share our story of our own fumbling and floundering, to tell our story of our own ache for home, an ache that finds some relief as each Sunday we collectively remember and remind each other that God is never far off from us, and that we live our lives in the midst of God's presence and care. We are called to tell our story and to be honest, like Paul, that we too don't have all the answers. And yet, or to use that great gospel word, nevertheless, even as the world churns and throws its cruel curveballs, by the grace of God, there remains this tiny seedling of hope and faith planted deep within us. A tiny seedling of hope and faith that assures us it's impossible for any of us to be where God is not. And our truth is that that seedling is there because God used someone somewhere to plant it. Someone somewhere built a bridge to us. Someone somewhere scattered into our imaginations the great good news that God is still at work, bringing new life and new beginnings. Someone somewhere acted as a chaos gardener in our own lives, like Paul was for the Athenians. Otherwise, we would not be here. We'd be at brunch or something else. Now, I do think it's important for us to realize that unlike other speeches and acts, Paul does not see huge numbers of people immediately respond to his scattering of the seeds of good news. Honestly, only a few decide to join him. some man named Dionysius, some woman named Damaris, and a few others. The rest of the crowd either scoffs at Paul's claims or remain curious yet pretty unconvinced. So Paul just heads on his way, leaving seeds of gospel hope scattered in his wake. Friends, this is part of what it means to follow Jesus in these days of churning and confusion. We, like Paul, are called to be chaos gardeners. We, like Paul, are called to scatter the seeds of faith that we ourselves have received, inviting others to hear the good news that remains at work in us and in our lives, the good news that continues to change and constantly reorient our own hearts and our own lives and the decisions we make. But we scatter these seeds knowing, like Paul, that we cannot control where or if any of those seeds take root, but that's okay. It's not our job. Our job, our call, is to keep inviting others to hear and to experience a story of how deeply God loves them and everyone else. Inviting others to see and hear and experience a story of how we are called to love God and neighbor and help each other do the same. Inviting others to hear and experience a story that God is at work even now, redeeming a world others think is a completely lost cause. Every single Sunday, as we gather for worship in person and online, we practice and embody that story over and over again. And we practice not to go through the motions, but so that we might be encouraged to do our faithful best to live the story and to share it out there. For we, like Paul, are charged to go from this place and to scatter the seeds of faith and humility and love and grace and justice. We are charged to go out from this place and do a little bit of holy chaos gardening. Chaos gardening in the name of the one who gives us life and breath, in the name of the one who promises never to let us go, in the name of the one who is never, ever far from us. We cannot be where God is not. For there are people like Dionysius and Damaris who are aching to know. So shouldn't we tell them, or at the very least, show them what we know to be true? May it be so. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work, and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.